Welcome to the SearchStorageChannel.com Project FAQ. This is Sue Troy for SearchStorageChannel.com. Today I'll be speaking with Brian Peterson about data migration. Brian is a storage architect working for a large reseller. Thanks for joining me today, Brian.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So today we'll be discussing data migration, and we'll drill down into the issues solution providers confront in data migration projects. So, Brian, first question, why the big interest in data migration now?
You know, it's interesting that you asked the question that way, data migration now as opposed to data migration in the past. I think that data migration has always been an issue or something that our customers have been concerned with. But I think there's more turnover in storage now based on the changing economy. For example, 3 years ago, people may have bought larger machines or been able to afford storage arrays that were more expensive. Now, in tighter times, people are interested in doing technology refreshes and maybe trying to right-size the technology type. That means that they need to move larger and larger quantities of storage because the growth is still occurring, and they need to move it to sometimes dissimilar storage array types. You know, it may not be a EMC Symmetrics to an EMC Symmetrics. They may want to go from an EMC Symmetrics to a NetApp FAS device, and mechanisms to move the data is really very challenging and important to the customers. Additionally, data migration is becoming a bigger issue because people are obviously have less tolerance for downtime. So applications, people want to move the data as online as possible. So data migration tools come up as the question really becomes, how can I move this data from one array type to another, larger and larger amounts of data with less and less outage? I think that's part of what's driving all this interest around data migration tools. Well, I think it's something that people have always been doing, but I think that it's, in my experience, my customers are more and more interested in finding a way to do more with less. So Moore's Law said that storage is going to get cheaper over time, obviously, for the same amount of capacity. But I think growth rates may be outpacing Moore's Law in many cases. So that may mean that they need to go with more cost-effective storage platforms than they would have bought previously mm-hmm. to potentially even beat Moore's Law.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so speaking of your customers, what kind of company is typically interested in data migration? Meaning, are you looking for a certain size company or a certain vertical that would be more inclined to need data migration services?
I don't think I could put it to a certain vertical, but what I see is that customers who have large amounts of structured content are looking for more and more non-disruptive ways to move their data. So most of our time is spent with non-disruptive. And again, people who other customers who match verticals who are under cost constraints, obviously, which is frankly everybody right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and so how complex is a typical data migration project? Like, how many people are involved? How long does it take from start to finish? And I realize that's sort of a big, broad question, but wondering if you can address that.
Well, that's another interesting aspect. I think that, first of all, I'd say that if we can find ways, or what we're looking for, we're always looking for, is ways to speed up the data migration process. Because if you think about storage as it's sitting on the floor of the data center is costing money, whether it be taking up power and environmental conditions, whether or not you're making lease payments, whether or not you're making maintenance payments or depreciation, it's sitting on the floor. Anytime that a migration is occurring, you're paying for the old array or the old storage plus the new storage. That overlap can, you know, generally speaking, cost twice as much per month as mm-hmm. having just one storage array on the floor.
It's like when you go to sell your house. While you buy a new house before you've sold your old house, so you're paying two mortgages at the same time?
Perfect example, yeah. And so the faster you can obviously buy the new house, get your stuff moved into there and sell the old house, the better off you'll be.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the problems that people have is that data migrations, especially when they require a lot of labor and a lot of effort, may take, you know, I've seen scenarios where people take as much as a year to move data off of a large storage array of, say, 50 or 100 plus terabytes. It could take them a year. that's probably on the long side, you know, as they move one application at a time and things like that. People who are doing it extremely well can move, you know, round numbers, 100 terabyte array in less than a month, and maybe with no outages using hostable migration tools, for example. The number of people probably depends on also the amount of time and the amount of data that you want to move. People who are paying for that year overlap might be doing it with one person just as free time allows. People who are taking this overlap very, very seriously could put two or three or four people on a migration dedicated to that process for a month and just knock it out.
So in terms of cost, it's certainly better to do it faster.
Yeah, I think so. You know, another analogy would be, you know, it's painful to do these migrations. You know, a lot of people just want to rip the Band-Aid off quickly and get it done quick. But without tools, it's very, very tough. Without tools and planning and experience, it's very tough to get it done quickly.
And so what would you characterize as the biggest gotchas in data migration? Like, where do the projects fall apart? Not that projects fall apart at your company, but...
Of course they don't. Of course they don't. I think that we underestimate the complexity of a migration, the number of hosts that are involved, the number of different types of hosts, compatibility between storage arrays. For example, a customer may have a host connected to a Hitachi storage array and they want to migrate to a NetApp and do driver parameter settings. Are they and multi-pathing software, are they compatible? Can you connect to both arrays at one time? I think that we underestimate the business's tolerance for outages and the business's tolerance for change. Those are another area that falls apart. And I think one of the last areas that it's so important is planning these migrations in terms of laying out the steps and being realistic about the time required so that you can add resources to shorten the window. I see it all the time. Customers, especially when they do it themselves, expect to make a migration happen in a month, and they want to do it grassroots. We'll just start moving the data, and it quickly bleeds into months and months or, you know, a year.
And then, so do you guys get called in that kind of a situation, like to fix something? Like, say a customer wanted to do it on their own, and they end up with a disaster.
I would say I can't say that we get called in, but oftentimes we'll check up on the process after we've sold new storage and check up on the success of this, and oftentimes run into frustrated management that, you know, the migrations aren't completed and may get involved. I've found that people don't admit defeat very easily. You know, they're not ready to throw in the cards. So in our case, we have to offer a better way, a quicker way, or demonstrate the cost of not getting this done.
Right. Okay, so what about storage virtualization? Like, what role does that play in data migration?
In my mind, storage virtualization's big promise, the very thing that storage virtualization was supposed to solve, was this non-disruptive, easy-peasy data migration from one storage pool to another, whether it be for ILM tiering or whether it be for, you know, technology refreshes like replacing a storage array. In all honesty, I think that storage virtualization failed to deliver in that place. One of the first reasons that storage virtualization hasn't really come through for us is that we may put storage virtualization in place so that we don't have to do array replacements every 6 months or every year. But every 3 or 4 years, the storage virtualization technology itself is probably going to need to be refreshed or replaced. And in those cases, you're still left trying to do some other migration that's outside of the storage virtualization landscape. Second one is that, you know, it adds a lot of expense and complexity to the infrastructure that people, I think, have a hard time getting a return on, you know. So if I'm going to virtualize 1 terabyte of storage for 3 years just so that I don't have to migrate that every 3 or 4 years, it's harder to justify. And the last one is, you know, reliability, maintainability, and visibility. People have a hard time. The virtualization is designed to obscure the back-end storage from the applications. Well, through that obscurity, we kind of lose track of what's where. And SRM tools and things like that can't see through the virtualization. I don't know of very many people who successfully deployed fan-based virtualization and are sticking with it.
Mm. So do you have people that are backing out of that? Like have, you know, implemented that and then decided to abandon?
In some cases, yes. Yeah.
Huh. And that's...
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, that's not easy, right?
No. It's ironically, it's exactly like if you move out of a virtualized infrastructure into a more traditional storage array, it's exactly like moving from storage array A to storage array B. Mm-hmm. The entire virtualized infrastructure is the source, and standalone arrays are the destination, mm-hmm. instead of, you know, old to new.
Mm-hmm. Sort of in support of what you were talking about storage virtualization, searchstorage.com did a spring 2009 purchasing intention survey in which 70% of respondents said they have no plans to buy storage virtualization in 2009, and 52% said they have not virtualized any of their storage. So
yep.
Just interesting.
You know, I think that one of the, we've had, to a certain extent, we've had storage virtualization for a long time. And when I think commonly we refer to storage virtualization as virtualization that exists in the storage network. Some filter, some difference, some layer between the host and the storage arrays. But if you look at it, if you think about it closely, we've had virtualization within storage arrays for 15 years. The idea that I could have multiple tiers in a single storage array, and I may even be able to move data non-disruptively within that storage array, and that the storage array obscures the fact that there's physical disk drives there. It presents logical drives, LUNs, to hosts. And at the host, we've also had virtualization with volume managers. So you could present a bunch of LUNs to the host, and he would slice and chop and raid and protect those things all into file systems, and the file system didn't have to know anything about the back end. Those two types of virtualization are still alive and very, very, very helpful. It's, in my mind, I think it's the storage network virtualization that hasn't paid off yet.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay, so let's talk about the five basic types of data migration tools. Can you name them?
Well, I could tell you that in my mind, there is. I could probably divide them up into three groups, those five tools. The first are host-based migration tools. And I think the second group is array-based migration tools, and the third one would be a storage network-based tools, mm-hmm. those three groups. And in the host level, I think that we have two types. You can either move the data at a file level, move individual files, and the second would be at the block level, like a logical volume layer, for example, or some data migration tool. File-level migrations are probably the oldest migrations. Host-level, file-level migrations have been around forever, and it started with copy, right? The simple mm-hmm. copy command. In Unix infrastructures and even to some extent Windows infrastructures, the open-source tool rsync is extraordinarily powerful and useful for data migrations. It allows migrations within a single host or to an external host, and allows a myriad of different connection methods through encrypted tunnels with incremental updates and things like that. Mm-hmm. Extremely powerful host-based file-level replication tool.
Mm-hmm.
On the block side for host-based migrations, I find that the logical volume managers on the host make amazing data migration tools. Oftentimes, you can move data non-disruptively by mirroring at the logical volume layer the new storage to the old storage, and do this without an outage. Almost all operating systems now have a logical volume manager that can do a non-disruptive migration. Windows is probably the most notable exception that Microsoft Windows makes that not that easy. But there's add-on products like Symantec Foundation Suite that I've seen customers standardizing on Symantec Foundation Suite so that they can do non-disruptive migrations at Windows mm-hmm. on the host.
So if a solution provider decides that they want to do data migration services, it's not the kind of thing that you can walk into and casually offer this. You need to really understand, you know, what type of data your customer has and what tools are available.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. Really need to spend a lot of time. I think assessing the practice that you're going to build around data migration and what tools you want to be competent in. And the second would be that really take some time understanding the customer's environment, obviously, to select the best method for their particular data type and their tolerance for outages and mm-hmm. their tolerance for host manipulation. Again, an example, one of the most common complaints that I have with people who want to do host-level migrations is that the storage team doesn't have access to the operating systems or that the application group is unwilling to let any change occur at the operating system. And, you know, it really turns into these political organizational boundaries that make host-level migrations the most difficult in my experience.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay, well, that's all we have time for today. Thanks for joining us, Brian.
Well, it's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Okay, thanks again. And this has been Sue Troy for SearchStorageChannel.com.